from here.
Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now? The show has begun.
Here's Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to
take it from me.
Well, here you are, Jim. Here it is written out in block capitals, I owe you £50.
Ah, good.
Signed, D. Bentley, spinster of this parish. That satisfy you?
Well, let me just scrutinize it.
Must say I'm rather surprised. In the length of time we've been friends, I'd have thought you would lend me money without making me do this. What are you waving that IOU about for?
Well, I'm waving about just to dry it, you see. Blood takes longer than ink. I'm sorry, Bentley, but where money's concerned, I always think that the formalities should be observed. So, goodbye, then.
Just a minute. May I remind you of this one formality you seem to have overlooked?
What's that?
You haven't given me the money.
Oh, I remiss of me. Well, yes. Hold out your hand, then, and count with me. Mm-hmm. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 50, right?
Thanks a million, old friend. Jim.
Yes?
Whatever became of 40 and 45?
40 and 45? Oh, bless myself. They seem to have stuck to the palm of my hand. They do add here, don't they?
They may add there, but they don't add my size. Hand them over, Charles.
Don't be so over-eager when you see money, Bentley. You're always the same. Listen, I'm a bit curious about this. What did you suddenly want 50 quid for?
Well, to finance the scheme I'm planning. You see, Jim, I've got to stabilize my financial future. After all, the time comes when it's no use kidding anymore. Do you know I'm nearly 35?
Bentley...
Yes?
Whatever became of 40 and 45?
Don't sidetrack me, Jim. I'm really onto something. I can make myself a steady 20 quid a week.
Honestly?
Well, almost honest. Look, Jim, take a look at this letter from Delmarni and Grove, the fine art dealers in Bond Street.
Yes, show me that.
The point of the letter is to let their customers know that their very expensive art treasures and antiques now can be hired.
Hired?
By the week.
So?
So, with your 50, I can hire about £5,000 worth of priceless and beautiful ornaments. Oh, they'd cheer up the flat, you know, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Imagine on the mantelpiece there a couple of vases that are real Louis cans.
Yes, the ones there now look more like jerry cans. I must say, looking round, Bentley, I can understand you wanting to cheer up this seventh-floor dungeon that you live in. But where does that 20 quid a week come in?
Jim, if I tried to sublet this flat to a couple of Americans, as it is now, what do you think I'd get?
Lynched.
Exactly. But suppose they saw the flat and it was adorned with £5,000 worth of objects of dust.
Ah.
Oh, dear, they'd pay anything to rent the place.
Of course they would.
I'd have no trouble getting them to sign a 7-year lease at 20 quid a week over what I'm paying for it now.
Oh, you mean, in other words, £20, 15 and 9. But what about all these antiques and all that stuff hanging about here? 7 years, you'd never be able to afford it.
7 years? No, they'd only be here while the Americans are viewing the place.
Oh, viewing?
Yes, before they move in, I'd send them back to Delmarni and Grove. See the scheme in its full beauty now, Jim?
Yes.
Outlay £50, inlay 20 quid a week for 7 years. What do you think, Jim?
Well, you want me to be frank?
Please do.
I have never heard such a vile, despicable, perfidious, underhand, foolproof scheme.
Oh, if only I'd had the initial £50, it would have been all profit.
Yes.
But as it is, well, Jim, I'd be glad if you'd fork over that missing 10 quid you're still grasping.
Well, eventually, in the words of Messrs. Delmarni and Grove's catalogue, not on your Omalu whatnot.
Right?
Or is it Ormolu?
It's Ormolu. But
anyway,
it doesn't matter.
It's Omalu or Ormolu.
And it's whatnot, I can tell you that.
If I'm putting up this money, I'm taking me whack of the proceeds.
Now, wait a minute.
It's only fair. We shall split the profits. I don't want to be greedy, so let's just say 50-50. How do you feel about that, Bentley? Done?
That's exactly how I feel about it.
Well, come on, then. Let's ring up Delmarni and Grove and get them to send the stuff over.
By golly, doesn't the flat look different, Jim?
Ooh.
These things really are exquisite.
Yeah.
Look at this lovely Chinese tea bowl. catalog says it's out of it's the blooming period.
Well, never mind the blooming period. Shove it on the blooming mantelpiece.
Jim, you can't shove things like this.
You want to try?
No, please. Each one of these is worth a small fortune. I think this is my favorite. Mm-hmm. A statuette of Venus de Milo with an exquisite little clock in her tummy. Oh. I'll put it on top of the tennis.
I should do that, yes. Did I hear the door, Buzzer?
Yes.
Yes, that'll be your American friend, Wendy. Get into your art connoisseur's dressing gown.
The black one with the gold dragon on the back?
Yeah, that's it. I picked off the words, eat at Fu Wong. I'll go and let them in.
Oh, good evening. We've come in answer to your advertisement on the American Embassy gatepost.
Yes, fabulously appointed apartment for rent. Suit lover of beautiful things, or well-heeled yang.
Yeah.
Do come in. Do let me hang your hat on this unique Georgian wig stand.
Oh, thanks.
Rather fun, don't you think?
Yes.
Now, this is the main living room. Here, I'll just call my friend. Richard. Ricky, some absolutely delightful people are here.
Just coming, Jamie.
Oh, do excuse me for being absent. So many people plaguing me for this place. Just had Barbara Hutton on the phone. In tears, my dears.
No, Ricky, you just must be adamant. You must be adamant.
These things here are just beautiful, aren't they, Greg?
They're just beautiful, Beulie, yes.
Did you ever see anything so darling as this Dresden shepherdess?
Yes, it is one of my favorites, too. Look at the way she's leaning on that big walking stick.
Crook.
Eh?
Crook.
Just a minute. Make your calm proof anything.
Jamie!
Hey?
Oh, Jamie, you're being dreary again. That walking stick is called the crook.
Of course.
Yes. What are you looking at, sir?
Well, I'm just looking at this painting. It's kind of cute.
Oh, very, yes. Yeah. Early 17th century, you know. Oh. The Constable School.
The Constable School?
I believe it's up at Hendon somewhere, you know.
Oh, these things are just too fascinating, Greg.
Well, that's fascinating, Beulah. They're pretty valuable, I guess.
All that I don't know where beauty is concerned. I never think of the money side. But I suppose it'd be worth, about £5,000.
£5,000?
What's that in real money?
About 300,000 rubles.
And you'd really rent us this apartment for £20, 15, and 9 pence per week?
All I want is for it to be lived in by people who will love it as I love it.
Well, what do you think we should do, honey?
Oh, Greg, you know what I want to do, but you're the boss man.
Well, I'm sorely tempted, but Miss Edwards, Miss Bentley, I wonder if I could have a moment alone with my wife to discuss this.
Oh, why, of course. The man wants to discuss this. Why does Bentley doesn't he? Of course he does it. Come, Ricky, we'll go into the kitchen. I have some semolina to grate.
Oh, Jim, we've done it. What did I tell you? Stick with me and you'll be wearing mink jodhpurs.
You've certainly got a head on your shoulder pad. Those two Americans swallowed that hook, line, and sinker.
Hell, there's one born every minute. Jim, did you see their faces?
Oh, yes.
Anybody who's so simple and trusting deserves to be fleeced.
My feelings exactly. Come on, let's go back and get the shearing finished. Well, have you? Well, that's funny. They're not here.
Front door's open.
Well, where could they? Bentley, look! All the art treasures!
Oh, gone!
Stripped clean! 5,000 quid worth!
Jimmy, we're ruined!
Oh, Bentley, you know what they were saying about one being born every minute?
Yes?
After you with the gripe water!
Some people are born to be doctors. Some are born to be lumberjacks. Some are born to take life easy.
Others are born to break their back.
But I'm just born to be your baby. Just born to love you, baby, true.
No one else will do.
Just born to be your baby. Just born to be.
Some nothing happens. Our hearts are made of stone. But whenever I feel our lips meet, something starts crawling through my bones.
'Cause I'm just born to be your baby. Just born to love you, baby, it's true. No one else will do.
Just born to be your baby. Just born to be.
If now then you start to wonder, will I be the perfect mate?
Now don't you worry, my pretty little darling. It was all arranged by fate.
'Cause I'm just born to be your baby. Just born to love you, baby, it's true.
No one else will do.
Just born to be your baby. Some people will search for love a lifetime, never feel love in their hearts. But I was born with a silver spoon. I had your love right from the start. Yes, I'm just born to be your baby. Just born to love you, baby, it's true. No one else will do. No one else will do. Nobody but you.
Come on, Mr. Glum, what's up with you?
Hey?
You've been looking very thoughtful tonight.
Yes, well, I have been thinking a lot, Tim.
You have?
Very retrospective, I've been, yes. Oh, you know why?
No.
It was catching sight of that pork pie on your counter.
What, is it this here one here?
Yes. It made me think of something else that was fresh 7 years ago. Namely, Ted, my son Ron's engagement to Ed.
Oh.
Did I ever tell you about how that came about, Ted?
Well, as it happened several times.
I thought I hadn't. Well, if you'll pour me out another brown.
All
I'll
right.
tell you, this is what happened. As I say, it was some 7 years ago now. And at that time, I never even suspected that Ron was even interested in girls. I thought he was devoting all his nervous energy to mastering bubble gum.
Oh.
However, as I say, one night, as I say,
yeah.
he went to the pictures on his Todd Ted.
Yeah.
And Ted, yeah. comes half past 11, he's still not home. Well, you can imagine the state I was in. Where is he? Where is he? Oh, where is he? What could have happened to him? Our party's Devon. Perhaps he's lost his memory. No, he hasn't got one to lose. He's never been out this late. Perhaps he's had an accident on his bike. Oh, no. I told him to buy a proper skid lid. What he's using just keeps slipping down over his eyes. And if the handle catches on anything, well, I mean, it'll swivel him right round. Why doesn't he come home? I'll go out the front door and have a decker up the road. See if I can see him coming. Oh, my baby boy. What dire calamity have you met with?
Come on, Ed. Let's come in the back door. Here we are, Ed. That was very nice of you to see me home.
Oh, I just couldn't bear parting, dearest. But why did we come in the back way?
'Cause the door's narrower.
I don't see what that's got to do with it.
That means you've got to squeeze past me to get in.
Well?
I like it, Ed. Let's go out and come in again.
Oh, no, Ron, dearest. Anyway, I think you should get off your bike now. Look, let's sit on the sofa. Ron, you did mean those three words you whispered to me in the cinema, didn't you?
Of course I did, Eff. I had seen it.
Not about the film, Ron. I mean about loving me. You said, I love you, and I want you to be my fiancé. You did say that, didn't you, Ron? It wasn't just a dream.
No, Eff, I said it. You got witnesses.
Witnesses?
That couple who was sitting between us. mind your ear on my holiday camp bat.
I don't mind. Oh, my man. Ron, there's an awful draught coming from somewhere.
Perhaps it's the hole in my pullover.
No, there must be a door open somewhere, Ron. Oh, yes, look, the first door. Somebody's left it wide open. Oh, no wonder I'm frozen.
Tell you what, eh?
What?
I'll go and close the door.
Oh, will you, sweetheart?
Just leave the whole thing to me.
So practical. It just all seems too good to be true.
Well, that's that little job.
Oh, thank you, beloved. Now, come and claim your reward. A big kiss. A special one, Ron. The first engaged kiss.
Oh, yes.
My nosy.
F, can you hear my heart pounding? I wonder what part's making that noise.
It's the front door, Ron. Oh, there's somebody ringing, Ron. Hadn't you better answer it?
All right. Coming.
Ron!
Dad. Oh, Dad, you won't half cop it coming home this time of night.
Coming home? I've been out of the gate looking for you. Where have you been? Half out of my mind I've been with worry. I rung up the police, the hospital, the RSPCA. Have you no consideration?
It's all right, Dad.
All right? Gone 11:30. It is not all right. My boy hanging round the streets till after the last trolley bus. May I remind you, my boy, that we Glums have achieved a name in this district. And I'm trying to live it down.
Dad, why are you taking your leather belt off?
You'll learn, my boy. You've got to be taught that while you're living within my roof, you're still under my jurisprudence. Come on, into the front room. Now then, I want a complete explanation of why you...
Good evening.
Hello. Well, it all becomes clear now. Hello. Oh, Ron. I am not easily shocked, but to come into my own front room and find this sort of thing.
I'm sorry, Dad. I'll push it into the hall.
I'm not talking about your bicycle. And as for you, young woman, I demand an explanation of what you're doing over here with my son at this hour.
Well,
now, come on, I want an explanation.
Well,
now, don't shilly-shally, no beating about the bush.
Well, we
now, come on out with it. Now,
well,
don't try and confuse me. I don't believe a word of it. It's a pack of lies.
Now, Dad, you mustn't talk to...
Will you keep your voice down? Do you want the whole neighborhood to know of your dissolute goings-on?
What dissolute goings-on?
Locking your father out so you can lark about here with a bint.
Mr. Glum, he didn't lock you out. I came here specially to meet you.
Oh.
Well, you see, Ron and I, we've just become... Oh, Ron, I think it's your place to tell your father.
Tell him what, eh?
Tell him what happened in the cinema tonight.
Oh. Well, Dad, it just happened suddenly, you see. Just a lot of talking, then zonk.
Zonk?
A burning arrow right in the sheriff's shoulder. And it was the Comanche. Thousands of them riding down the gutter. In and out.
Jump.
Comanche.
I didn't mean the picture.
I haven't seen that one. In the shoulder?
Yes.
A burning arrow.
Oh.
Mr. Glum, what your son was trying to say was, tonight we got engaged.
Yeah. Engaged?
And, Dad, we want you to be the third to know.
The third, dearie?
Well, you and me knew first.
So that's it. I should have guessed he got involved with a woman. So that was face powder on his lapel after all, eh? I just thought he'd been blowing down his sherbet dab.
Aren't you going to congratulate us?
Congratulate you? If you think for one minute I'd allow my only son to engage himself to a female of your ilk.
What's wrong with my ilk?
The ilk that brings the boy home this hour of the night. Call me straight-laced if you like. But I've always insisted that my son shall be in bed well before his parents are carried home from the boozer.
But, Mr. Glum, we love each other. We got engaged this evening.
That is quite irreverent. I have better things planned for my only son and issue, Mr. Ronier. What? Allow him to be snapped up by the first fortune-hunting adventurers he meets in the One and Fours?
Meeting? We've been walking out for over 6 months.
Well, you can just walk out again now. There's the door.
Now, Dad.
You listen to me, Ron. I know what's good for you, my boy. You are not to see this girl again, ever, understand?
Ever?
Never. I have forebode it. Now then, put her out of your life.
Oh, Ron!
Leave this to me, yes? Dad, I love it. She told me so. If you, Dad, think you can keep us apart, you're wrong. Let me tell you this. There is no way you can prevent me from going and seeing my aunt.
Oh, no. I shall hide your trousers.
Oh, yes, that's a good way.
Mr. Glum, I'm not stopping here if I'm shown the door.
Well, there it is.
I had hoped this meeting would be very different.
Oh.
But if you choose to try and deny us happiness by removing your son's nether garment, well, on your own head be it.
Oh, Ron, for goodness sake, come away from that window. You've had your face pressed against it for the last 10 days. Them net curtains will leave a permanent crisscross on your nose.
Oh. I say, Dad, could I have my trousers back for a while? I think I'll stroll down to the post office.
What for?
I fancy a tuppenny halfpenny stamp.
Ron, that's the 18th feeble excuse since breakfast.
Dad, I think I'll take the budgerigar for a walk. Dad, I think I'll stroll to the lost property office to see if I've lost anything.
Do you think I don't know what you're trying to sneak out for? A Candlestein meeting. Oh, Ron, why don't you give up? Forget her.
I can't forget her, Dad. I'll never forget her. For always engraved on my heart will be the one name. Thank you, Dad.
I'll answer the phone, Ron, for goodness sake.
Hello?
Ron, listen carefully. I've got a lot to say. Is your father in the room?
Yes.
Well, pretend this is a wrong number.
All right, O.F.
Who was it, Ron?
A wrong number. Hello?
Ron, I didn't mean put the phone down. You better pretend it's someone else calling. The butcher. Got that?
Yes, yes.
No, not him. The butcher. Now, this, Ron, there's only one answer for us. Elope.
Elope?
Yes, tonight. I've borrowed a pair of trousers for you. Have your bike ready to get us to the station, and I'll be outside your window at 3 a.m. with tickets. Green. Got it, sweetheart?
Who is it, Ron?
Just a minute, Dad. You'll be outside my window at 3 a.m.?
Yes, that's right. Love me?
Oh, my sweetheart, I love you with all my heart.
Ron, who is it?
It's the butcher, Dad.
Oh, was it? Now, was it really? I'm very interested.
It's the Comanche. Get the wagons in a circle.
Ron, wake up!
Wait. Oh, just a minute. Hello, F. I never realized you were so tall.
I'm on a ladder, Ron. Here's your trousers, dear heart. Now, hurry up. The bike's right outside, and I've put the tickets in the tool bag. Come on, or we'll miss the plane.
Right, oh, Eph. You go down the ladder a bit so I can get on.
All right. Come on, dear.
Here we go. There's my foot on the rug.
No, it's on my head. Oh, my going-away hat. Be careful, Ron. There's a loose rung. Now, there we are. Now, quietly across the front garden.
Just coming.
No, leave the ladder there, Ron. We can't take that on the train. Now, get on the bike and I'll get on the crossbar. Quickly, we've only got a few minutes to get to the station.
Why, what's the time now?
3:10.
Thanks, Dad.
Mr. Clum, where have you come from?
I've been behind the variegated cricket. That's where I was. Behind the variegated cricket. Oh, you thought you could pitch your wits against me, eh? Why, you haven't got a wit to pitch. Ron, back to your bedroom this instant.
Righto, Dad.
No, Ron, no.
Hey? What?
Oh, don't you see? This is your one chance for happiness. Are you going to be under your father's yoke forever? For the first time in your life, Ron, defy him.
Righto, Eph, I will. What do I do?
Push him clear and then pedal like Billy O to the station.
Ron, don't you listen to this. Oh, 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 you are it, boy. Oh, oh, he knocked me right off. Oh, good. Come back. Come back. Stop that bike. Come back.
Hello? Hello? Will you accept a call from Gretna Green?
Oh, yes. Of course I will, miss. Oh, at last. Hello, hello.
Hello, Dad.
Hello, Ronnie boy.
I'm sorry, Dad, but like Eph said, I had to defy you, Dad. Like Eph said, Dad, was my one chance of happiness. Eph said I just had to snatch it,
well,
Dad.
I appreciate that now, my son, but next time, snatch a bit more carefully.
What do you mean, Dad?
What do I mean? Here, you talk to him.
The BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the keynote. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton read the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...